a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Columbia Pictures presents an Amblin Entertainment production in association with McDonald Parks Productions, a Barry Sonnenfeld film, Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith. At night, a big, multicolored, four-winged insect swoops by. Men in Black. The dragonfly-type creature flits over cacti and desert rocks. Also starring Linda Fiorentino, Vincent D'Onofrio, Rip Torn, and Tony Shalhoub. Beating its transparent wings frantically, the bug, which has green bulbous eyes, leaves the confines of a narrow canyon and ventures into open desert. Its long, segmented abdomen trails behind it, and below its flight path, vehicles pass along a winding road. Music by Danny Elfman. Sudden deviation, the insect rises up into the starlit night sky, coming into a perfect silhouetted profile against a luminous full moon, before looping back down towards the highway, where it's caught in the headlights of an oncoming truck. In a blur of bodywork, the insect's tossed about in the vehicle's slipstream. Regaining control, though, it continues its dangerous journey along the highway. Few feet away. Executive producer Steven Spielberg. One car passes right over the bug, sending it into a dizzy spin. Produced by Walter F. Hawkes and Laurie MacDonald, and directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. The insect now surges towards another set of headlights.
Goddamn bugs.
The driver turns on the wipers, which just smeared the insect's gooey remnants over the windscreen. In the back of his truck are crammed a host of solemn-faced Spanish folk. Up ahead, a row of headlights bar the way. The driver calls to his passengers.
Silencio!
Déjame hablar.
Oh, crap.
It's a Border Patrol roadblock. Several armed officers are waiting for the battered red truck, and one comes over as it pulls into a lay-by.
Well, pick the deck. What a surprise. Where are you coming from, Nick?
Fishing in Cuernavaca.
Oh, sure you were. What do you say we take a look at your catch, huh? Come on.
Holding a torch, Officer Janus opens the driver's door and escorts Nick round to the back.
Oh, me, I would have thrown him back. Bájense todos. Forman una línea aquí, por favor. So, Nick, what do you get? Like $100 a head here? $200? Hope you saved it all for your lawyer, my friend, because you are gonna need it.
A sleek black car pulls up, and two men in smart black suits get out.
We'll take it from here.
Who the hell are you?
INS Division 6.
Division 6? I never heard of Division 6.
Really? Who you got your money on, D?
Tough call, Kane.
Kay asks the Spanish immigrants, what's up? How are you? Good, good. He goes on to say, Grandma, don't worry. Welcome to the United States. Where are you going, Nogales? Looking for work? Moving along the line. And you? The same. And you? Pleasure seeing you here. And you? He asks a heavy-set bearded man, what if I break your face? You're very ugly, no? The man just laughs, and so Kay continues by saying, you don't speak a word of Spanish.
We got a winner here.
Kay says, the rest of you can leave. Janus shouts, don't move. Kay urges, get in the truck and leave.
Sir, you can't just...
Don't, sir, me, young man. You have no idea who you're dealing with.
Kay orders them to get in the truck right now, but holds the bearded man back.
We're gonna have a little chat with our friend here. You fellas can hit the road. Keep on protecting us from the dangerous aliens.
The immigrants file into the truck. Janus to his men.
You ever hear of Division 6?
There is no Division 6.
Looks like you fell off the bus in the wrong part of town, amigo. In fact, I'm gonna bet dollars to pesos you're not from anywhere near here.
Trips the man, revealing an alien.
Mikey?
Yamaniche heister kumstribe. Kampana jeksha, huh?
Mikey, when they let you out of jail?
Fletchta gyo.
Political refugee, right.
You know how many treaties you just violated?
One.
I'll try seven.
Shaya. Bachi pomchonyats
tokai. That's enough, Mikey. You hand me that head.
The tall, green alien hands Kay the mechanical head on a pole.
Put up your arms and all your flippers.
As the muscular, long-snouted Mikey obeys, Janus appears over the ridge behind it and gasps. In the distraction, Mikey roars, knocks D to the ground, and charges Janus. Gray-haired D fumbles with a futuristic gun, but isn't quick enough. Gray takes out his own, and just as Mikey pounces towards the panic-struck officer, he fires, and the blast obliterates the ferocious creature into blue goo. Kay lowers his smoking pod-shaped pistol. Stunned and covered in liquidized entrails, Janus stutters.
Was not human, I know. Oh, looks like you got some entrails on you there, pal.
What the hell?
The situation's under control. Calm down, please. Give me your attention for a moment. I'll be glad to tell you what happened.
A sleek black truck hums to a halt on the road. Black-suited men in shades and clear overalls jump out.
This is called a neuralizer. It's a gift from some friends from out of town. This red eye here will isolate the electronic impulses in your brains, and more specifically the ones for memory. Oh, that's good, fellas. Give me a splay burn around the perimeter with holes at 40, 60, and 80 meters from right here. Thank you.
While the cleanup team torch any remains, Kay sends his bullet-shaped neuralizer.
That's good. Thank you.
What in the hell is going on?
Excellent question. And the answer you're looking for lies right here.
A red light on the device.
Who are you? Really?
Really? I am just a figment of your imagination.
Donning shades, Kay makes the neuralizer flash.
Damn, what a gullible breed.
I'm serious, fellas. You're lucky to be alive after a blast like that.
What blast?
The underground gas main, genius. You fellas need to exercise a lot more caution before discharging your firearms. I'll tell you that right now. Especially you. Have yourselves checked out with EMS on the other side of the hill before you leave.
Bewildered, Janus and his men shuffle off. Kay finds his dejected colleague sitting on a rock nearby. Dee's white mustache and eyebrows emphasize his age-lined features.
I'm sorry about back there.
That happens.
Been used to. Spirit's willing, Kay, but the rest of me, they're beautiful, aren't they?
What?
The stars. We never just look anymore.
No?
I'll tell you, Kay. I will miss the chase.
With a sigh, Kay takes out his neuralizer and puts on his shades.
No, D. You won't.
Freeze! LAPD, freeze!
Oh, yours, Edwards!
Freeze me! Stop! Stop!
The suspect leaps from a bridge to a road some 20 meters below, and then sprints away. Edwards leaps into an open-topped coach.
It'd just be raining black people in New York.
Scrambling downstairs, then bolts from the bus, doubles back, and continues his pursuit by hopping onto the back of a yellow newspaper delivery truck. The suspect, a short-haired man in his 20s, is running along an avenue. The delivery truck draws parallel to him. Edwards leaps from it, pins the suspect to a wall, and flashes his badge.
And
NYPD means I will knock your punk ass down.
He's coming. He's coming.
Yeah, and when he gets here, I'll arrest his ass, too.
Edward bats the perp's weapon away and it vaporizes. The man shoves backwards, runs up a wall and over the cop's head. Edwards draws his gun and chases him through traffic towards the white cylindrical Guggenheim Museum. As Edwards approaches a wall, the suspect makes a huge leap from a basement level and disappears onto a first floor roof. Edwards looks on aghast when he spots the suspect scrambling up the main building's smooth vertical wall to the ledge at the very top. The glass doors to the museum are locked, so Edwards shoots them. The building's spiral design rises over 7 stories around a central atrium. Edwards starts the long run up. On the roof, the suspect searches for an escape. He has dark, spiked back hair, a shiny green coat and earrings. The door he tries is locked, so he leaps over a railing to another. On the far side of the roof, he flings open a third.
What's up? He's coming. He's coming because I failed and now he'll kill me too.
Yeah, well, you just pissing everybody off today, huh?
You don't understand. Your world's gonna end.
He blinks with vertical eyelids.
What the hell are you?
Grinning insanely, the suspect backs up.
Hey, watch that ledge. Watch the ledge. Wait, look, look, come on down. We'll get those eyes fixed. Don't even worry about it. Wait a minute. Let me talk to you.
He plunged freely to his death.
I work my butt off to make a living. All I want is to come home to a nice clean house with a nice fat steak on the table. But instead I get this. It looks like poison. Don't you take that away. I'm eating that, damn it. It is poison, isn't it? I swear to God, I would not be surprised if it was. The way you skulk around here like a dog been hit too much or ain't been hit enough. I can't make up my mind. You're useless, Beatrice. The only thing that pulls its weight around here is my goddamn truck.
This barrels over the farmhouse, totaling the truck in the driveway and scorching the tree beside it. The young farmer appears on the porch.
Vegas.
In dungarees and a beige shirt, Edgar, the stubbly farmer, trudges towards the crater. His dowdy wife appears on the porch.
What the heck is it, Edgar?
Get your big butt back in the house.
The red-haired Beatrice mutters curses and disappears back into the house. Edgar continues down to the edge of the smoldering pit, a shotgun in his hands.
Please, projectile weapon on the ground.
You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold dead fingers.
Your proposal is acceptable.
A long brown three-fingered alien arm snatches Edgar into the crater. Within seconds, the farmer is skinned. The floppy mass of flesh and clothing yanked back into the crater, and whatever crash landed uses it as a disguise, emerging as the ashen-faced Edgar, puffy and drawn. It flexes its neck and staggers towards the house. The plain-faced Beatrice sits at the kitchen table in her nightclothes and dressing gown. Having walked into the screen door, Edgar eventually enters.
Edgar, what on earth was that?
Sugar.
I've never seen sugar do that.
Give me sugar.
Bemused, she lifts a pot from the kitchen table.
In water.
She spoons some sugar into a glass of water and hands it to him.
More.
Eyeing her husband curiously, she obeys.
More.
Eventually tipping in the whole pot. With dead eyes, Edgar downs the sweet mixture in one.
Oh, your skin is hanging off your bones.
She glances nervously towards a mirror. The saggy-faced farmer turns.
Oh, yeah.
Then pulls the skin of his head back.
Is that leather?
Beatrice collapses. Edgar lets go of the taut skin, allowing his face to loosely return, and then sets about wheeling his disc-shaped ship out of the crater. A nearby cow watches while chewing the cud.
The perpetrator then blinked two sets of eyelids. You mean blinked with both eyes?
No, sir. He blinked one set, then he blinked a completely different set.
You know, like high beams and low beams.
Was that before or after he drew the weapon that you claim evaporated into a million pieces?
After, sir.
And why is it that none of the other officers saw either of these two events?
Well, sir, some of the other officers are a little soggy around the midsection. I guess that's why they weren't able to keep up.
Edwards. If you were half the man I am.
What the hell are you talking about? I am half the man that you are.
And what is your problem?
My problem is you being all up in my damn face. That's my problem.
You know, I think he threw him off the roof.
Sorry, Willie, really, maybe you next.
I want to talk to you.
Edwards, a lean and handsome young cop, is left alone until a woman enters the interview room.
I believe you. Laurel Weaver, deputy medical examiner. Find me at the morgue in 26. I'll show you.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute.
Excuse me. You're Dr. Weaver with the coroner's office working on the John Doe, right?
Yes, that's right.
Will you look this, please?
Kay's neuralizer leaves Weaver stunned. He then joins Edwards, shuts the door, and removes his shades.
Some night, huh?
Yeah, some night.
They were gills, not eyelids. Gills, he was out of breath.
Who are you?
Did he say anything to you?
Yeah, he said the world was coming to an end.
Did he say when?
Having unplugged a CCTV camera, Kay stares at Edwards with a serious expression.
Would you recognize that weapon of his if you saw it again?
Absolutely.
Well, come on, let's take a ride.
Wait a minute. Look, I got tons of paperwork.
Right, it's all done.
Good work, Edwards.
You really ran this dude down on foot. That's tough, kid. That's double tough.
Edwards is stunned by his inspector's compliment. Kay takes him to a weathered old pawnbroker's shop on a quiet street corner.
So, who exactly are you with? FBI? NSA?
I'm part of a bureau that licenses, monitors, and polices alien activity on the planet Earth.
Yeah, whatever.
We're here.
This is where we going?
Yeah.
This is Jack Jeeb's spot. He buys from chain snatchers. He doesn't even sell guns.
Really?
All right, look. I'm gonna slot up in here and I'm gonna put my thing down. But when I come back out, I want some real answers.
Okay, go put your thing down.
Inside the cluttered shop, a short, shifty, cross-eyed man looks up from the counter.
Officer Eduardo, uptight! How did these get here? I thought I'd turn these into the proper authorities.
The way I hear it, Jeebs, are you into something a little hotter than some stolen Rolexes?
Well, sure, I'm a huge crack dealer now, but I still work here because I love the hours.
I'm talking about guns, smartass. Weird ones.
Come on, Edward, what you see is what I got.
Why don't you show him the imports, Jeebs?
Hiya, Kay. How are you?
Show him the imports right now.
Yeah, I got out of that business a long time ago.
Why do you lie to me, Jeebs? I hate it when you lie.
Now just hold on a second.
I'm gonna count to three.
He'll do it, Jeeves.
One.
I'm telling you, that man does not look stable.
Two.
Wait, you know what? Talk to me. He is just crazy when he's like this.
He's always crazy. Why don't you get a massage? Take a cruise.
Three. Drop the weapon and put your hands on your head.
I warned him.
Drop the weapon!
You warned him.
Don't make me kill you.
But then both men witness Jeebs sprout and grow another sweaty head.
Do you have any idea how much that stings?
Show us the merchandise or you're gonna lose another head, Jeebs.
Jeebs presses a button below the counter. Pictures, panels, and cabinets comprising half the shop rotate to reveal a futuristic space-age armory.
Mr. Edwards.
Unsettled, Edwards points to a four-pronged weapon.
Right there, the one in the middle.
Kay shoots Jeebs a look.
You sold a reverberating carbonizer with mutate capacity to an unlicensed cephalopoid. Jeebs, you piece of...
He looked all right to me.
It must have been for an assassination. Who's the target?
You know, I don't know.
God damn it, Jeebs!
I don't know!
All right, that's confiscated, all of it. And I want you on the next transport off this rocker. I'm going to shoot you where it don't grow back.
Kay deactivates his weapon and leaves.
Yeah, and I'm going to be back to talk about them Rolexes.
Edwards shuffles out, and once both men have gone, Jeebs chances a mocking facial expression. On the street, Edwards slips the safety on his gun and shoves it back into his orange civilian overalls, the sleeves of which are tied off around his waist. Kay stands beside him as a couple cycle by on a tandem.
Searching for a handle on the moment.
I can't help you. The only comfort I can offer is my promise that tomorrow morning you won't remember a thing. Have you ever seen one of these, son?
A new Eliza. Now they're having a curry.
She looks over at her husband and she looks back down in her lap and she says, honey, this one's eating my popcorn.
Edward laughs, but looks disorientated.
Oh, you gotta go. Thanks for the egg rolls, kid.
Hey, wait a minute. Who are you?
You see what I mean about tequila? You're a very bright young man, James, but you need to lay off the sauce. I'll see you bright and early, 9 o'clock. Be there or be square.
Kay gives Edwards a business card with MIB embossed in black on one side and 504 Battery Drive written on the back. A bug exterminator parks his truck outside Edgar's roach-infested barn.
Well, moving right in, are we? Think we own the place? I got a little eviction notice for you boys.
Just what exactly do you think you're doing here?
Taking care of your pest problem.
Pest problem? Pest!
Yeah, you got a hell of an infestation.
You know, I've noticed an infestation here. Everywhere I look, in fact, nothing but undeveloped, unevolved, barely conscious pond scum. Totally convinced of their own superiority as they scurry about their short, pointless lives.
Well, yeah. Don't you want to get rid of them?
The worst way.
Edgar shoves the exterminator's gas rod down the man's throat, pumping him with toxic green gas from his backpack. Outside, it's sunny. The slowly decaying alien Edgar rolls his metallic flying saucer up to the Zap'em pest control truck, but it's too big to fit in. The tall, grey, windowless Brooklyn Battery tunnel building. Edward goes in and discovers a high, cement reception hall where a security guard on a foldaway chair looks up from his paper.
Help you? Yeah, this dude gave me this card the other
day. Elevator.
An enormous fan behind a grate in one wall dominates the hall and whirs opposite an equally gigantic intake vent. Edwards enters an unassuming grey lift at the far end and presses a button. The lift descends rapidly. Then doors open behind Edwards, revealing a white room with men in pod-shaped seats.
You're late. Sit down.
A heavy-set man in a black suit with a dark beard and mustache. Edwards joins the other seated candidates.
My name is Zed. You're all here because you're the best of the best. Marines, Air Force, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, NYPD. And we're looking for one of you. Just one. What will follow is a series of simple tests for motor skills, concentration, stamina. I see we have a question.
I'm sorry. Maybe you already answered this, but why exactly are we here?
Son?
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Zed nods, and Jensen shoots Edwards a look before sitting.
What's so funny, Edwards?
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. You know, with honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here. That's very funny to me. Y'all ain't laughing, though.
The uniformed candidates are stoic. Zed glances at Kay, who's looking amused behind an observation window.
Okay, let's get going.
The candidates tear open an exam paper in unison. But Edwards is sitting on his. Looking casual, he takes it in hand and opens the first page. Kay looks on as Edwards then tries to break the seal with his pencil like the others. It snaps in half. With nothing to rest on, the others shift about in their egg-shaped pod seats, trying to write on the flimsy exam papers. Edwards pieces his pencil back together. A candidate punctures his paper by accident, and they all fidget about and try leaning the paper on their knees, thighs, and even the sides of the pod, but with little success. Edward's pencil falls apart again. At the end of his tether, he goes to the far side of the room and drags an oval coffee table back to his seat. Edwards puts his paper on the table and looks to his neighbouring colleagues.
Wanna get down on it?
They're not amused. Now armed with guns, the group enter a firing range under strobe lighting. Everyone else opens fire on a number of fierce cardboard aliens present in a street scene in front of them. But Edwards takes careful aim and fires only once.
Edwards, what the hell happened?
Hesitated.
Zed brings a target closer.
May I ask why you felt little Tiffany deserved to die?
Well, she was the only one that actually seemed dangerous at the time, sir.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
Well, first I was going to pop this guy hanging from the streetlight, and then I realized, you know, he's just working out. And how would I feel if somebody come running in the gym, bust me in my ass while I'm on a treadmill? Then I saw this snarling beast guy, and I noticed he had a tissue in his hand. I realized, you know, he's not snarling. He's sneezing. You know, ain't no real threat there. And I saw little Tiffany. I'm thinking, you know, 8-year-old white girl, middle of the ghetto, bunch of monsters, this time of night with quantum physics books. She's about 8 years old. Those books are way too advanced for her. If you ask me, I say she's up to something. And to be honest, I'd appreciate it if you eased up off my back about it.
Zed sighs uncomfortably.
Or do I owe her an apology?
He studies the cop, then walks away, shaking his head. Edward smiles, then says to another candidate,
"That was a good shot, though, right?"
They turn away dismissively. Zed joins Kay in an observation room.
He's got a real problem with authority.
So do I. But this kid ran down a cephalopoid. On foot, boss, that's got to be tough enough.
Let's hope you know what you're doing.
Zed returns to the range. Edward stands apart from the others, who are all chatting amongst themselves.
Gentlemen! Congratulations, you're everything we've come to expect from years of government training. And now, if you'll just follow me, we have one more test to administer, an eye exam.
The military personnel place the weapons on a table and follow Zed out. Edwards brings up the rear. In a grey, featureless hallway, Kay waits for Edwards.
Where are you going? Yo. Hey, man, what the hell is all this?
Back in the mid-1950s, the government started a little underfunded agency with the simple and laughable purpose of establishing contact with a race none of this planet.
If you look directly at the end of this device, we'll administer the eye test.
Everybody thought the agency was a joke, except the aliens who made contact March 2, 1961, outside New York. There were 9 of us the first night. 7 agents, 1 astronomer, and 1 dumb kid who got lost on the wrong back road.
Oh, you brought that tall man some flowers.
This way. They were a group of intergalactic refugees. Wanted to use the Earth as an apolitical zone for creatures without a planet. Did you ever see the movie Casablanca? The same thing, except no Nazis.
Oh.
We agreed, and we concealed all the evidence of their landing.
Uh-huh. So these are real flying saucers, and the World's Fair was just a cover-up for their landing.
Why else would we hold it in Queens? More non-humans arrive every year, and they live among us in secret.
Look, I'm sorry, not to change the subject or anything, but when was the last time you had a CAT scan?
About 6 months ago. It's company policy.
Right, you should make another appointment. Look, tell your boy Zed I had an absolutely wonderful time, and thank you for everything, but why don't you show me the door?
All right. I want to get some coffee. You want some coffee?
No, thank you. I'm fine.
A kitchenette containing several short, thin creatures chatting over coffee.
How you doing, fellas?
Okay.
That's not decaf, is it?
Viennese cinnamon.
Oh, don't tell me we only got that powdered stuff for cream again. I hate that stuff.
No, the Greek has a twaka.
Oh,
it's
good. Good.
Yeah.
You guys getting along all right?
No, it's a
twaka. Don't work too hard.
Okay.
So, you guys in the wangers?
Sure you don't want some coffee?
Edwards is dumbstruck.
All right, kid, here's the deal. At any given time, there are around 1,500 aliens on the planet. Most of them right here in Manhattan. And most of them are decent enough. They're just trying to make a living.
Cab drivers.
Not as many as you'd think. Humans, for the most part, don't have a clue. They don't want one or need one either. They're happy. They think they have a good bead on things.
Well, why the big secret? People are smart. They can handle it.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
1,500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that people were alone on this planet.
Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
They're sitting on a bench.
What's the catch?
The catch? The catch is you will sever every human contact. Nobody will ever know you exist anywhere. Ever.
This unsettles Edwards.
I'll give you the sunrise to think it over.
Kay starts walking away through Battery Park.
Hey, is it worth it?
Oh yeah, it's worth it. If you're strong enough.
In his shiny red jacket, jeans, and white t-shirt, Edwards leans back on the bench and considers the proposal with a thoughtful frown. The high-rise office blocks of southern Manhattan dominate the skyline behind him. As afternoon draws into a dusk, they darken against a golden sunset over the Hudson River. The glittering New York City at night. As sunlight dawns across the city, a giant plastic cockroach hoves into view atop the Zappam pest control truck as it rattles over a bridge in the suburbs. Edgar's ripped a hole in the roof so that his saucer will fit. Edward struts into the MIB reception hall. To the guard, then to Kay in the lift.
All right, I'm in. But before y'all get to beaming me up, it's a couple things I want you to understand. First off, you chose me. So you recognize the skills. And I don't want nobody calling me son or kid or sport or nothing like that, cool?
Cool, whatever you say, Slick, but I need to tell you something about all your skills.
As of right now, they mean precisely dick.
An underground headquarters of polished steel and glass. A rich variety of aliens and humans in black suits and ties bustle through the airport terminal-style space. At a counter...
Diplomatic mission.
Duration of stay?
Lunch.
Any fruits or vegetables?
The extremely tall, bald-headed humanoid removes a spherical object covered in tendrils from his bag. Kay passes through unfazed, but Edwards reaches out to a semi-translucent slug-like alien.
You stay away from that guy. He's grouchy. 3-hour delay in customs after a trip of 17 trillion miles is going to make anybody cranky. You know what I mean?
Hey, what branch of the government do we report to?
Well, none. They ask too many questions.
So who pays for all this?
We hold the patents on a few gadgets that we confiscated from out-of-state visitors. Velcro, microwave ovens, liposuction.
This is a fascinating little gadget. It's going to replace CDs soon, so I'll have to buy the White Album again.
Oh, that is a lot of fun. It's a universal translator. We're not even supposed to have it, and I'll tell you why. Human thought is so primitive, it's looked upon as an infectious disease in some of the better galaxies. That kind of makes you proud, doesn't it? Huh?
Hey, what's this thing?
He touches a glowing orb, and it shoots off like a bouncy bullet, hitting an employee's head.
Ooh, watch your head! Somebody get him some ice! Look, move, just move when it's coming at you!
It shoots through paperwork, makes a person pass wind, and then enters a lab.
I'm gonna pay for that!
An alien screams, but Zed barely flinches when it rebounds through his office. Kay catches it in a metallic glove.
This thing caused the 1977 New York blackout. Practical joke by the great attractor. He thought it was funny as hell.
Sorry, y'all. It was an accident. Sorry.
Observation. The heart of our little endeavor. Meet the twins. And Bob. This map shows the location of every registered alien on Earth at any given time, some of them under constant surveillance. Everyone on those screens is an alien. In public, they're as normal as you are, but in private, well, you'll get the idea.
Oh, man.
Doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, no, it makes perfect sense. When I was in third grade, everybody told me I was crazy, but I knew our teacher had to be from like Venus or something like that.
Ms. Edelson, Jupiter, actually. Well, one of the moons.
Revolve. Class. Be quiet and pay attention. If I have to tell you one more time.
Edwards, let's put it on.
Put what on?
The last suit you'll ever wear.
Edwards glances at Zed uneasily. Now he passes lockers bearing letters of the alphabet. He stops at J and finds his black suit, tie, and shoes and a pressed white shirt.
You will dress only in attire specially sanctioned by MIB Special Services. You'll conform to the identity we give you. Eat where we tell you, live where we tell you. From now on, you'll have no identifying marks of any kind. You'll not stand out in any way. Your entire image is crafted to leave no lasting memory with anyone you encounter. You are a rumor, recognizable only as deja vu, and dismissed just as quickly. You don't exist. You were never even born. Anonymity is your name. Silence, your native tongue. You are no longer part of the system. You are above the system, over it, beyond it. We're them. We're they. We are the men in black.
James Darrell Edwards has his records and fingerprints erased and becomes simply Jay.
You know what the difference is between you and me?
Suited up, Jay dons his shades.
I make this look good.
A jeweler's.
Put you down here for just a minute, and Daddy will be right back.
As the graying elderly man who's carrying a white and ginger cat in a leather holdall locks up, Edgar rattles past in his pest control truck. He stops across the road and tries to casually rest his chin on his hand, but every movement seems to crack, stiff with rigor. Fighting convulsions, he pauses long enough to see the jeweler walk off with his cat in the holdall.
Okay, now we're ready to go for a little ride. And we're gonna meet one of Daddy's friends and you're gonna like it.
He drives off in pursuit, in Zed's glass office.
Okay, let's see. B, we got the deposed Sir Prefect of Singley touching down in the forest outside Portland tonight.
Humanoid?
You wish. Bring a sponge. And here, red letter from last night. We had an unauthorized landing somewhere in upstate New York. Kay, keep your ears open on this one. We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here. Well, we got a skimmer.
Landed alien out of zone. Who is it?
Reggie. He's not cleared to leave Manhattan, but he's way out of town right now, stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike. Why don't you take Junior here with you? This is a good one for him to warm up on. Go get him, Tiger.
Edwards, now known as Jay, forces a smile and follows Kay out.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger.
Zed, he just...
Unlimited technology from the whole universe, and we cruise around in a Ford POS.
They get in.
Fasten your seatbelt.
See, now we got to work on your people skills. You know, you get a much better reaction if you're a little more polite.
Fasten your seatbelt, please.
Whoa, that was good. Did you ever just say that?
He was jolted by the powerful machine.
Oh, the red button there, kid. Don't ever touch the red button.
No.
Outside a restaurant, a yellow cab skids to a halt, and the jeweler gets out with his holdall.
All right, Bob, that'll be $72. Okay, sweetie, let me pay the impolite driver.
As the jeweler settles up, Edgar stops across the road and glances over momentarily before driving off so as not to be seen. Inside the eatery, the jeweler goes over to the tall, bald humanoid from MIB headquarters, who gets to his feet with a concerned expression. The jeweler pops his bag under their table, and they hug. Dwarfed by his associate, the jeweler says,
"Sorry I'm late. The cab drivers on this planet are terrible."
"Your Majesty, you are in grave danger."
"Yeah, and they overcharge you every time."
"Sir, a bug landed here. We must get you off the planet."
"A bug? He must know why I'm here."
"We think he does."
"A black and silver pot."
"Is that what I think it is?"
"No, just some diamonds for your children. Do we have time to eat?"
"Sure. I ordered you some pierogi."
"Six is up. Where is Ivan?"
"Gave him a break."
The chef returns to work, and Edgar takes the orders out, revealing Ivan folded in two on a narrow shelf under a sink.
To the continued reign of the Arquillian Empire.
To the safety of the galaxy. Edgar delivers their food with cockroaches crawling all over it. The jeweler looks up.
You can kill us both, but you will not find the galaxy.
Oh, you're right about one thing.
Edgar's stinger shoots out and stabs the jeweler through the neck, then the humanoid, killing them both instantly. Edgar takes the ornate box and runs for the door, the cat viciously swiping at him. He pushes the other waiter out of the way and staggers into the street. Edgar limps down the road, his body contorting uncontrollably. J and K have pulled a car over.
I'd like to see your license and registration, please.
The driver hands it to him.
I'd like to see your other license and registration, please.
The man opens his wallet and hands over a card with his picture on it.
All right, your resident alien card has you restricted to the island of Manhattan. Where are you going, Reggie?
Well, it's my wife. She's... Well, look.
She's in labor.
Oh, all right. Okay, no big deal.
You come with me, Reg. And you handle this.
What? Me?
Yeah, it's easy. You just catch.
Are you sure he knows what he's doing?
He does it all the time. Let the men work.
Okay, yeah.
Jay watches fearfully.
Ooh, Kay, damn, man. Kay, something's peeking.
Proactive midwife, 54th Madison. You're headed out of town, Reggie. What's going on?
Oh, well, we're meeting someone.
Who you meeting?
Well, it's a ship.
A ship? I didn't see a departure clearance for today.
You didn't?
No.
Well, it's an emergency.
What?
You're doing fine, Ace.
What kind of emergency? What's the rush to get off the planet all of a sudden?
We just don't like the neighborhood anymore. Just some of the, new arrivals.
What new arrivals? Have anything to do with the crasher from last night? Help me, miss.
Jay's thrown to the ground, clutching a baby alien.
Okay, look. Oh, man.
Okay. Congratulations, Reg. It's a squid.
Okay, man. You know, it's actually kind of...
It squirts white goo all over his face and jacket.
Cute.
Back in the car, Jay's looking fed up as he wipes moisture from his nose.
Anything about that seem unusual to you? What would scare Regic so badly that he'd risk a warp jump with a newborn? Let me check the hot sheets.
These are the hot sheets? Best investigator reporting on the planet.
Go ahead, read the New York Times if you want to. They get lucky sometimes. Thanks, Manny.
Cannot believe you're looking for tips in the supermarket tabloids.
Not looking for. Found.
A headline reads, "Alien stole my husband's skin." Jay and Kay pull up outside Edgar's house at the end of a dirt track in the country.
Wait a minute, slow down.
Why?
Give her time to get the wrong impression. Makes things go a lot smoother.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes, ma'am. I'm Special Agent Mannheim. This is Special Agent Black of the FBI. We'd like to talk to you about your visitor.
You here to make fun of me, too?
No, ma'am. We at the FBI do not have a sense of humor we're aware of. May we come in?
Sure.
Thank you.
Lemonade?
Oh, yes, please.
They're in Beatrice's sitting room.
The chief of police himself came up to the house and did a full-out professional investigation. Took a police report and wrote down everything I said. From A to Z, not believing one thing I said. Sort of poking fun at me. And they asked me if he was murdered, how was he able to walk back in the house? And I gotta admit to you, that one got me sort of stumped. But I'll tell you something right now, I know Edgar, and that wasn't Edgar. It's like something was wearing Edgar. Like a suit. An Edgar suit.
Dude was that ugly before he was an alien.
Jay shows Kay a picture of him.
I'm sorry.
Go on.
Anyway, I come to and he's gone.
Did he say anything?
Yes. He asked me for some water. Some, sugar water.
Sugar water?
Yeah, if I remember that right. Because I thought that was odd that he'd ask me for sugar water or not. Lemonade or ice water or regular water or tap water.
Kay zaps her.
All right, Beatrice. There was no alien. Flash of light you saw in the sky was not a UFO. Swamp gas from a weather balloon was trapped in a thermal pocket and refracted the light from Venus.
Well, wait a minute. So you just flash that thing, it erases her memory, and you just make up a new one?
A standard issue neuralizer.
And that weak-ass story is the best you can come up with.
All right. On a more personal note, Beatrice, Edgar ran off with an old girlfriend. You're gonna go stay with your mom a couple nights, you're gonna get over it and decide you're better off.
Well, yeah, you know, cause he never appreciated you anyway. In fact, you know what? You kicked him out. And now that he's gone, you're gonna go in town, you go to Bloomingdale's, you find yourself some nice dresses, get yourself some shoes, you know, find somewhere, maybe you get a facial, and, hire a decorator to come in here quick, cause damn.
Outside, Kay takes a sample of Earth from the large crater.
Okay, look, check it out, man. When do I get my own flashy little memory messer upper thing?
When you grow up.
Okay.
Please, not green.
Oh, damn.
I don't suppose you know what kind of alien life form leaves a green spectral trail and craves sugar water, do you?
Oh, wait, that was on Final Jeopardy last night. Damn, Alex said it was...
Zed, we have a bug.
So, what, we don't like bugs?
Bugs thrive on carnage, Tiger. They consume, infest, destroy, live off the death and destruction of other species.
You were stung as a child, weren't you?
No, listen, kid.
Imagine a giant cockroach with unlimited strength, a massive inferiority complex, and a real short temper. Is terrassing around Manhattan Island in a brand new Edgar suit.
Does that sound like fun?
What's the move?
With the bug in town, we'll watch the morgues.
The cat sitting on top of the jeweler's covered body as a policeman wheels him into the morgue on a gurney.
Where do you want contestant number 3?
Just leave it there. What's with the cat?
Oh, the cat. Yeah, well, there's a problem with the cat. Sign here.
What's the problem with the cat?
It's your problem.
The officer leaves.
I hate the living. Shall we?
Laura, the same medical examiner that told the old Jay she believed him, wheels the body away. Later, the humanoid's covered and lying on a trolley while Laura works on the jeweler. She's cut into his stomach and is looking down at it intently while she feels and pokes around with both hands. Suddenly, she frowns, raises her eyebrows, and looks a little confused.
Oh my God. Whoa, buddy, what are you?
Jay and Kay march through the corridors of the morgue. Laura's at her desk, speaking into a microphone.
Subject was approximately 112 degrees at time of autopsy, indicating an increase in body temperature. Examiner tried to verify this rectally, only to find the subject was without rectum, which is, needless to say, really...
Weird! I'm Dr. Leo Manville, Department of Public Health. This is Dr. White.
You boys must not have much of a home life.
We watch the morgues very carefully, ma'am. Tell me, do you have something unusual around here?
I'd say so. Triple homicide.
Mm-hmm.
The first body I opened up was pretty normal, except he was broken in half. But when I opened up the other two, well, let me show you.
She opens a storage cabinet and pulls out the humanoid's body.
There's a skeletal structure at work here unlike anything I've ever seen before.
All right, I'll have a look at this one. Dr. White, why don't you and Dr. Weaver check out the other body, please?
This way, doctor. This one's even stranger. I did a full laparotomy. I started with the lesser curvature of the stomach, but we could start with the gastroesophageal junction, whichever you prefer.
Let's start wherever you started at.
Okie dokie.
She puts on her scrubs and hands Jay a box of latex gloves. The cat rubs around his legs.
That's your cat?
Guess it is now. It came in with the body. Okay, dive right in. I'm sure he won't mind.
Jay puts his hand in.
You have really pretty eyes.
Thank you.
He grimaces and smiles.
Okay, you feel that? where the pyloric junction would be? Push it aside. Notice anything strange? Stomach, liver, lungs?
Nope, all fine.
Doctor, they're all missing.
Of course. That's obviously the first thing I noticed. Well, what I was pointing out is the fact that there are no pieces of them left. Yeah, so they're intact. Wherever they are, whole somewhere, that we can be sure of.
Have we met before? I'm having the strangest feeling of deja vu.
Yeah, me too.
Really? Okay, do you want to know what I really think? But don't tell that guy. He looks like he's under enough stress. See, I don't think this body's really a body. I think it's some kind of transport unit for something else altogether. The question is, what?
Mm-hmm.
Is this freaking you out?
Nah, girl.
You know what I like to do sometimes when it's really late?
Jay raises his eyebrows.
No.
Dr. White.
Excuse me.
He goes over to see Kay, throwing his glove away.
What do you think?
Very interesting. She got a real Queen of the Undead thing going.
Of the body.
Well, great body.
The dead body.
Oh, man, you're going to have to go look at that thing.
White?
You recognize him?
Yeah, he looks like the big guy I saw down at headquarters on a little debtor.
What do you think killed him?
Bug?
Dr. White.
You're up, Slaughter.
She points at the jeweler's ear.
Look at this.
The hell is that?
Tiny metallic studs. When Jay touches them, the ear slides outwards with a small jet of steam. Then the jeweler's face lifts off and turns to one side, revealing a tiny alien sitting inside the robotic head, working the controls.
Must do.
Okay, what are you trying to say?
To prevent.
To prevent? Struggle?
No. To prevent.
War?
War. The galaxy is on Orion's what is word?
Bed. Belt? Orion's belt?
The alien nods, his energy draining from him. Then his eyes close, and his head drops to one side. The cat's watching from a shelf above.
To prevent war, the galaxy is on Orion's belt. What the hell does that mean?
Jay walks away.
Doctor, whatever, come here.
Doctor Whatever? Hey, you guys aren't really from the Department of Health, are you?
Rosenberg. Oh, damn. The Arkellians are not gonna like this. This guy was one of the royal family.
I knew it. This is an alien, and you guys are from some government agency trying to keep it under wraps.
Look, he said to prevent war, the galaxy is on Orion's belt.
This makes total sense. How else do you explain New York? The other day, I was in this cab, and this guy was...
Kay zaps her.
Galaxy on Orion's belt didn't make any sense.
Look, that's what the little dude inside the big dude's head said, right? Right after... Damn, man. We did the flashy thing already.
Hey, whoever you guys are, you're gonna have to show me some ID if you're gonna be in the morgue.
Oh, yes, of course, young lady. Have a look at this for me, please.
Would you stop that?
What?
That thing is gonna give her brain cancer or something.
Never heard her before. Look, we gotta get all the doors closed off around here. Special services will be here any minute.
What? Never heard her before? How many times have you flashy thing that poor woman?
Couple.
So would you not worried about no long-term damage?
Little.
Hey, Kay, have you ever flashy thing me?
No.
I ain't playing with you, Kay. Have you ever flashy thing me?
No.
A large truck with satellite dishes on top and orange flashing lights pulls up on the street as Jay and Kay step outside.
Look, Kay, I think I should be in charge of the flashy memory thing department.
Not while I'm around, Ace.
You ain't gonna be happy till you frickin' see somebody's brain out, man.
All right, we got two dead aliens and a deputy medical examiner needs a new memory.
Yes, sir.
Make it a happy memory.
Edgar's truck is in a dark alleyway, rocking from side to side. He's in the cab, jumping around maniacally as he tries to open the jeweler's ornate box by smashing it against the paneling. He puts all his effort Samples into trying to prise it apart, and eventually succeeds. He tips it upside down, and a whole load of small diamonds fall out.
Oh, where is it?
J and K walk up to the MIB building and go inside. K sits down at his desk. He looks at his monitor and starts typing on the computer, inputting the name Elizabeth Ann Reston into a search engine. It brings up a map and the message searching. Then it shows subject acquired and zooms in on a section of the East Coast. Kay magnifies it further.
Hey, Zed. Doesn't anybody ever get any sleep around here?
The twins keep us on Centaurian time. It's a 37-hour day. Give it a few months, you'll get used to it, or you'll have a psychotic episode. Here's Orion. It's a grouping of the brightest stars in the northern sky. And here's Orion's belt.
Right, that's what the little guy said. To prevent war, the galaxy is on Orion's belt.
Junior, there are no galaxies on Orion's belt. The belt is just these three stars. The galaxies are huge. They're made up of billions of stars. You heard wrong.
Look, whatever, man. I know what I heard.
Jay walks away. Kay is still working at his computer and is now looking at an aerial view of a garden surrounded by trees. He zooms in again on a woman who's bending down tending to a raised circular flower bed built around a tree trunk. Kay smiles as he watches her stand and look upwards, the breeze tussling her hair. He freezes it. Jay is standing behind him, watching.
Pretty lady.
The image fades.
Okay. That grumpy guy's story is starting to come into focus a little bit here. So you were the guy in that picture you showed me with the flowers. And I take it she never got those flowers. So what, she ever get married or anything?
No.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Try it.
Okay.
He goes over to see Zed.
Take a look at this. My God, they're all leaving. We've had 12 jump in the last hour. Regic was just the first.
What the hell do they know that we don't?
Why does a rat desert a ship?
Give me LimSat-4, please, with a proton induction thermoscan. Thank you. Okay, LimSat 18. All right, 4,000.
A huge spaceship's cruising above the Earth.
That's an Arkelian battle cruiser. We've got a dead Arkelian prince. And speak of the devil.
They sound pissed.
Boys, translate that step on it. But you get down to Rosenberg's jewelry store and see what you can turn up.
They head off.
Okay. Give the kid a weapon.
Kay opens a weapons door and picks out a large silver gun that looks like a machine gun.
Series 4 deatomizer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Noisy cricket.
A tiny pistol.
Hey, Kay, no, come on, man. You get a Series 4 deatomizer, I get a little midget cricket. Oh, kid.
Kay points the gun away.
I feel like I'm gonna break this damn thing.
Edgar breaks into Gutenberg's jewelry shop and wades inside. He uses both hands clasped together to break the display counters and rummages briefly through the jewelry in them. Outside, a tow truck's hooking up his van. Edgar stops suddenly and stares at a framed photograph of Rosenberg with his cat. It's the cat that's caught his attention, and he begins to twitch uncontrollably. Then he sees his van being winched up and hurries out into the street.
Hey, this is my truck!
Yeah, and make sure you tell him that down at the impound.
Edgar takes his rifle out of the cab and shows it to the man, who pulls out a large pistol.
Please.
Jay and Kay arrive at the jeweler's while the van's being hooked up.
Who breaks into a jewelry store and leaves all the jewels?
Somebody not looking for jewelry.
This guy had a serious crush on his cat. Kay, get out!
Jay finds his gun and headgun and is thrown back against the wall.
That's him! That's the in the Edgar suit!
Edgar jumps into the tow truck and drives away. Jay fires, but only manages to release the van from the truck, the recoil sending him flying into a load of bins. He jumps up and gives chase, firing again. He blows a hole in the back of a lorry and is thrown onto a car's windscreen.
Weapons in view of the public.
I don't know whether or not you've forgotten, but there's an alien battle cruiser about to...
There's always an alien battle cruiser or a Carillion death ray or an intergalactic plague that's about to wipe out life on this miserable little planet. The only way these people get on with their happy lives is they do not know about it.
They look round at the people who are watching them.
And don't worry about the bug. He's not leaving town. We got his ship.
Jay hurries over to Edgar's van while Kay makes a call.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
Zed, we need a containment crew on McDougal Street, south of Houston.
Containment may be a moot point, old friend. The exodus continues. It's like the party's over and the last one to leave gets stuck with a check. Oh, you sorry little ingrates!
Zed!
What about the Archelians?
We've only translated part of the message so far. Deliver the galaxy.
No, they don't want much, do they?
Oh, it gets better. They're holding us responsible.
The message reads, MIB, deliver the galaxy. Edgar walks up to a man outside a shop.
Where do you keep your dad?
I don't have any dad.
Where?
I don't know. The city morgue?
Edgar throws him down, knocks over his display, then stops to look at a rack of postcards. He picks one out and walks away.
That's three for a dollar, sir!
With some light reflected off of Venus into some swamp gas, and that's what made the,
All right, kid!
What's up?
The Archelians or the galaxy, whatever the hell that means.
We need help, a professional, somebody with years of experience in intergalactic politics.
A pale, skeletal-looking man with long, straggly white hair is sitting in a key booth with a small dog beside him on the counter when Jay and Kay pull up.
Now that's the worst disguise ever. That guy's definitely an alien.
You don't like it? You can kiss my furry little butt.
You busy, Frank?
Sorry, Kay. Can't talk right now. My flight's leaving. Wow! Get your paws off!
Call the pound! We got a stray!
The dog owes my friend money.
Archelians and bugs, Frank. What do you know?
I know nothing.
Not a thing.
Kay shakes the dog.
Okay. Rosenberg wasn't some two-bit Archelian. He was the guardian of a whole galaxy. They thought he'd be safe here on Earth.
And the bug had other plans.
The galaxy is the best source for subatomic energy in the universe. If the bugs get their slimy claws on it, kiss the Archelians goodbye.
And ask him about the belt.
Rosenberg said something about a galaxy on Orion's belt. What's he talking about, Frank?
Beats me.
Beats you.
He shakes them from side to side while people watch, appalled.
They're rehearsing a ventriloquist act.
The galaxy is here!
What do you mean here?
Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How's it here?
You humans, when are you gonna learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small.
How small?
Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta be warped before my flight.
All right, get out of here. If the galaxy's here, it's not on Orion's belt.
Frank trots away down the street, then stops and barks at a white cat sitting up on a ledge. Jay watches, and realization dawns on him.
Kay.
At the morgue, Rosenberg's ginger and white cat jumps onto Laura's desk.
Boy, when you want attention. Orion, that's a pretty name.
What's this?
She sees the name written on its collar, which also has a large jewel of silver metal encasing a bluish-green glass attached to it.
Wow.
As Laura stares at it, she becomes transfixed. A pinpoint of light reflects in her eyes as, inside the jewel, an incandescent star burns and millions of little ones gravitate around it, surrounded by deep red gases. She stares wide-eyed into the galaxy. Edgar walks into the morgue and goes up to the front desk, still carrying his shotgun, which he puts down before ringing the bell. Orion hears, hisses, and runs off.
Okay. Yes, good. Thank you. Thank you for making sure the bell works.
He swats a fly.
What's up, Farmer John?
Oh, a man came in here earlier. A dead man.
And that means what to me?
He was a very dear friend of mine. I believe he had an animal with him. It was a gift I gave him. A pet cat. It means worlds to me. I'd like to have it back.
Okay, I'm gonna need a picture ID, written proof of ownership of the cat, notarized proof of kinship with the deceased.
Don't do that.
Do what?
Don't do it.
Cockroaches come out of his sleeve.
Oh, man.
The attendant picks up some bug spray, but then stares in horror at Edgar. Next, Edgar's throwing Laura against the chill cabinet.
I told you I don't know.
Well, let's see if we can find it.
He drags her backwards across the floor by her collar while Orion runs out. Edgar stops to listen. Jay's ringing the bell on reception. He goes into the morgue and finds Laura.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm Sergeant Friday from the 26th Precinct. A cat came in with a corpse the other day. Orion on the name tag?
Yes, that's right.
Right. Well, this cat is a witness in a murder case. I'm gonna need to take him with me, ask him a few questions.
Well, I don't know where the cat is right now.
Oh, you don't?
No, but maybe you could take me with you instead.
Damn, you do start fast, don't you?
I'd really like to go with you. Now.
Uh-huh. And, exactly why is that?
Edgar's hiding under the gurney between them. Kay's in the corridor outside.
There's something I need to show you.
Slow down, girl. You ain't gotta hit the gas like that.
No, you don't understand. You really need to see this.
Oh, I will, I will. One thing. I gotta drive. You know, it's not some macho trip. I'm saying that's just the way I get down.
Kay lights a match for his cigarette, but it goes out. He looks up and sees the attendant's been stuck to the ceiling with green dripping goo.
Look, stud, you're really not getting this. There's something I need you to help me with.
Jay gets it and starts to pull his gun. Orion jumps onto the gurney, but Edgar grabs her, then puts his gun to Laura's head as Kay bursts in.
Freeze it, bud.
Christ, you are thick!
Look, how was I supposed to know?
What did I have to do, sing it for you?
Well, if you weren't coming on like some drunken prom date...
Oh, God, that is so typical. Anytime a woman shows the slightest hint of sexual independence...
Shut up! Compared to you humans, I'm on the top rung of the evolutionary ladder! So can it, all right?
You're breaking my heart. Show me your face and I'll cure all your ills.
You ever pull the wings off a fly? You can't see the fly get even!
How far do you think you're gonna get without your ship, if that's what you call a piece of space trash we got locked up in the office?
Put your weapons down!
Never gonna happen, insect.
It's okay, Laura.
How is it okay?
I'm saying, it's gonna be okay. Don't bet on it, meat sack!
Edgar turns and leaps upwards through a window with Laura, taking the galaxy pendant with him. They land on the street, and he carries her off. Just before running them down, Jay and Kay sprint through the morgue as Edgar pulls the driver out of the car, throws Laura in behind the wheel, and gets into the passenger seat. Then he holds up the postcard he stole.
Oh, take me here!
No way.
Take me!
He hits the accelerator, and the car screeches off with the driver running down the road behind it. Inside, Edgar swallows the galaxy pendant. Jay and Kay get outside and spot the driver's bead seat cover.
He's in a cab!
Jay jumps over some railings and runs off down the street, while Kay watches him, then calmly walks the other way. taking the steps down to the pavement. Jane runs on the road, winding his way between a solid traffic jam of identical yellow taxis. He approaches one.
Don't move! Don't move! Don't move!
Hey, man, what? Whoa.
It's the wrong one. The traffic drives off and leaves him standing in the road with cars driving around him. Kay pulls up.
He's not leaving the planet in a cab. Let's go.
Jay gets in. Back at MIB headquarters.
Come with me. Put up a bio net all the way around Manhattan. If it's not human, I don't want it to leave this island.
Yes, sir.
What do we hear from our friends upstairs?
Same thing, deliver the galaxy.
The bug's got the galaxy, but we got his ship. He's got to be looking for a way out.
Warning for target fusion detection. Warning for target fusion detection.
The battleship turns and fires a laser beam at Earth.
What the hell are they shooting at us for?
Darkhelion battle rules, kid. First we get an ultimatum, then a warning shot, and then we have a galactic standard week to respond.
A galactic standard week? How the hell long is that?
1 hour.
1 hour. Then what?
A message reads, MIB, deliver the galaxy or Earth will be destroyed. Sorry.
Look, kid, to keep the bugs from getting it, the Arkhelians will destroy that galaxy.
And whatever planet it's on.
You're talking about us.
Sucks, son.
I'm pulling up the location of every interstellar vehicle within 100 miles.
Already did. Frank the Pop took the last ship.
Okay, we got Sneeden's landing in Throg's land.
Gone.
We have an exit.
Adios. Gone.
All right, Bayonne.
Gone.
All right, there's 3 Mile Island.
Gone.
Yeah.
Staten Island.
Gone, thank God.
Fellas.
Says we're running out of time here. If that bug gets off the planet, if that galaxy, we're all bug food.
Hey, old guys!
A mural of the 1964 World Fair towers.
Do those still work?
At the World Fair site, where Edgar's taxi pulls up.
You're coming with me.
What?
It's a long trip. I'll need a snack.
What?
He drags her out, leaving the postcard behind. In the MIB car.
Wait a minute, is he taking a tunnel?
You know a better way to get to Queens?
Man, that thing's gonna be packed.
They race down the road, do a wide U-turn at the junction, and head back in the opposite direction towards the tunnel. Then, they're speeding through it.
You remember the little red button?
Yeah.
Push the little red button. And you may want to put on a seatbelt.
As they hit traffic, parts of the car open out. Two jet engines come out of the boot. Then it veers up onto the wall and drives upside down along the roof.
You know, you're much too tense. You're a young man. You need to relax. Learn to take some joy in your work. Do you like music? That's better.
Kay hangs calmly in his seat, while Jay tries desperately to get back into his face squashed up against the windscreen. The car speeds along the tunnel roof, above the long line of traffic. Kay swings his head from side to side to the music, then veers around a sign at the last moment.
You do know Elvis is dead, right?
No, Elvis is not dead. He just went home.
The car comes out of the tunnel, swings back down onto the road, and speeds through the traffic. Kay drives straight through the toll barrier, throwing a coin into the basket as they pass. Edgar's climbing one of the towers.
You don't want to eat me. I'm a very important person on my planet. Like a queen, a goddess even. There are those who worship me. I'm not telling you this to try to impress you. I'm just letting you know it could start a war.
Good, war. That means more food for my family, all 78 million of them. That's a lot of mouths to feed, Your Highness.
You're a wonderful dad, but I'm staying here.
Laura jumps off and lands in a tree. Edgar carries on climbing to the top of the tower. He slides a hatch open and climbs inside as Jay and Kay arrive and park up next to the taxi. Kay opens the boot and hands Jay a huge gun.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bro, just check in. They don't check out.
Back at MIB headquarters.
Warning. 8 minutes to the destruction of Earth. 8 minutes to destruction.
Zed watches the clock counting down. The disc on top of the tower squashes down on itself, so that what looked like a large circular viewing platform becomes a thin UFO. Then it breaks free and takes off. Laura watches from a branch in the tree as the bright lights pass above her. The UFO flies over a baseball stadium just as the pitcher bowls a ball and the hitter whacks it skywards. A fielder looks up and sees the spaceship slowly passing over. He stares at it as the ball falls back down and hits him on the head.
All right, we'll use Pulsar Level 5 with a subsonic implosion factor.
What? Just shoot the damn thing on the count of three. 1, 2, 3!
Hot balls of light fly out of the guns and slam into the UFO, dissipating in a cloud around it. There's an explosion on the ship, and it goes out of control, speeding down towards the ground and straight through some flagpoles. It fears up again, then flies round in a loop and heads back towards the World Fair, crashing into the Unisphere, an enormous steel globe, and hitting the ground. J and K stand and watch as it plows through the ground towards them, throwing up great clouds of earth, finally coming to a stop just in front of them. They wait as the dust settles around them, and watch with their guns still ready as a large door is lowered down from the ship, creating a walkway. A silhouetted Edgar appears.
Oh, you idiot! You don't get it! I've won! It's over! You're milk, sucker! You don't matter! In fact, in a few seconds, you won't even be matter!
You're under arrest for violating sections 4153 of the Tycho Treaty.
So hand over whatever galaxy you might be carrying and step away from your busted-ass vehicle and put your hands on your head.
I'll put my hands on my head. Like this?
He pulls the back of his head open, and the real alien inside starts to break free of the body. J and K watch, their eyeline rising higher and higher as the enormous, slimy cockroach alien reaches its full size.
K.
Suddenly it roars at them. Its tongue shoots out and grabs their guns. Then it swipes both men away with a front leg.
Plan.
Whatever happens, don't let him get on the second ship.
What? What are you talking about?
Keep him on this planet.
Okay, where are you going?
I'm getting my gun back.
Hey, wait a minute, I'm talking to you. You know how many of your kind I've swatted with a newspaper? You're nothing but a smear on the sports page to me, you slimy, gut-sucking, intestinal parasite. Eat me! Eat me! Okay.
The alien leans forward, grabs Kay in its fanged mouth, and swallows him whole.
Hey!
Jay throws a rock at it.
What's up? You just want to eat and run, huh? What about dessert?
He's about to hit it with a metal pipe when the alien kicks him away.
That's it? Where are you going? This party just getting started. Where you going? Where you going? Let me tell you something. There's only one way off of this planet, baby, and that's through me.
Alien swipes at Jay and knocks him to the ground. As he rolls underneath it, he sees a wooden spike which he picks up. He's about to stab the alien when it sticks its head in his face, and he falls backwards again. The alien starts scaling the second tower, but Jay runs after him and grabs its tail. Then it flicks him off through the air. Jay lands against a metal container. Laura falls out of her tree, and the alien continues to climb the tower. Then Jay painfully gets to his feet again.
Hey! Where are you going? Why are you running, huh? I'm still standing! Come on, bring it!
Jay notices two cockroaches on his sleeve. He looks back at the containers, kicks in a rotting corner of it, and a whole nest of them tumble out. He deliberately steps on one.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Was that your auntie? Oh, then that must mean that that's your uncle then, huh? Oh, you know y'all look alike.
The alien jumps back down off the tower and faces him. Jay smiles confidently.
Well, well. Big bad bug got a bit of a soft spot, huh? See, what I can't understand is why you got come down here bringing all this ruckus, snatching up galaxies and everything. My attitude is, don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
The aliens loom right over him now.
About my face for something bad happened to you. Too late.
The alien's stomach briefly expands, then explodes, ripping it in half. Kay comes flying out in a flood of slimy liquid that covers Jay as well. Jay sees the galaxy pendant on the ground and picks it up, holding it out in front of him for Kay to see. Kay reaches into his pocket and takes out his phone.
Zip. Call the Arkellians, tell them we have the galaxy.
You got it, friend.
Going to get your gun back, huh?
I like this gun.
Yeah, well, while you was in there playing around, I was down here doing all the work. You know, first I had to beat him in the head with this big rock, then I was going to hit him with this 2x4. He kicked me, it hurt. But then I got the fire, you know, I was like, with the fire.
Not bad for your second day at work, is it?
Should have been here for the Zeronian migration in 1968. Well, I guess you weren't even alive in 68.
The alien roars up behind them, then explodes.
Interesting job you guys have.
Jay and Kay look at each other in surprise when they see Laura standing with a smoking gun in her hands. Then they're walking up to the door of MIB headquarters.
Okay, look, I know we got these rules and everything, but I was thinking she did help us bust that bug. Maybe we didn't have to flashy thing it. Okay, come on, man. What? Who's she gonna tell? She ain't out with all dead people.
It's not for her. It's for me.
What? They're beautiful, aren't they? Stars. I mean, I never look at them anymore, but they actually are quite, beautiful.
Kay, you're frightening your partner.
I haven't been training a partner, I've been training a replacement.
Wait a minute, Kay. I cannot do this job by myself.
Hey, guys. My apartment isn't anywhere near here. It's not even on the same island.
Days. Months. Years. Always face it forward.
Kay hands over the neuralizer. Jay takes it, but looks at it, frowning.
Kay?
I've just been down the gullet of an interstellar cockroach, kid. That's one of 100 memories that I don't want.
Jay stares at him meaningfully, and Kay nods. Jay carries on looking at him as he takes his sunglasses out of his pocket and puts them on.
See you around, Jay.
He holds the neuralizer up, pointed at Kay.
No, you won't.
A newspaper's front page headline reads, "Detroit has car that defies gravity. Proof of secret tests in New York's tunnel." Another claims, "UFO made me miss home run." A third declares, "Man awakes from 35-year coma," and shows a picture of Kay and Elizabeth smiling together. Jay is standing reading it. He smiles and puts some sunglasses on.
Hey, Jay. Zed called. The High Consulate from Salaxium 9 wants floor seats for the Knicks Bulls game.
All right, let's put in a call to Dennis Rodman. He's from that planet.
Rodman, you're kidding.
Nope.
Not much of a disguise.
Laura and Jay get in the MIB car and drive away. Pulling out and away from the streets of New York so that the city, then the country, then the whole of Earth disappears into space. Then traveling even further away so that the stars become a galaxy shrouded in glowing gases. And even further, and the galaxy's within a glass marble, which an alien picks up and uses to knock another marble out of a ring drawn on a rocky surface. Then he puts them both in a bag.
Extraterrestrial violence, but yo, we ain't on no government list. We straight don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back, cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at. And night on the horizon, bright light into sight, tight camera zoom on in your pens and doom. But then like boom, black suits fill the room up with the quickness, talk with the witnesses, hypnotizer, neuralizer, vivid memories turn to fantasies. Ain't no MIBs, can I please do what we say? That's the way we kick it, you know what I mean? I see my noisy cricket get wicked on you. We're your first, last and only line of defense against the worst scum of the universe. So don't fear us, cheer us, if you ever get near us, don't jeer us, we're the fearless. Send my bees freezing up all the flag.
What that stand for?
Men in black. And
the men in black.
Let me see you just bounce it with me, just bounce with me, just bounce it with me. Come on, let me see you just slide with me, just slide with me, just slide with me. Come on, let me see you take a walk with me, just walk it with me, take a walk with me. Come on, and make your neck work. Now freeze. Tell you this in closing, I know we might seem imposing, but trust me, if we ever show in your section, believe me, it's for your own protection. Cause we see things that you need not see, and we be places that you need not be. So go with your life, forget the Roswell crap, show love to the black suit, cause that's the men in, that's the men in.
Yeah.